This is the K-State Radio Network and Agriculture Today. Eric Atkinson here. We further our conversation with Brian Brigeman from the Arthur Capper Cooperative Center here at Kansas State University. We're tapping Brian for his observations on the ramifications of that tax cut package that was signed into law right at the end of the calendar year 17 and what it means to agricultural ventures, including our cooperatives out there, Brian. And there's been quite a bit of vibrant discussion about that since the law was kicked in.
Yeah, so I guess where the vibrant discussion, which has hit the Wall Street Journal, has hit DTN. I know High Plains Journal is planning on running something. Just about everybody is picking up on it. Is there's a pretty strong incentive for farmers to do business with cooperatives that's built into it. We talked earlier about the lower corporate tax rates. So on any taxable income that a cooperative has, they would pay that 21% rate. So that is, you know, a benefit to them, right? But that's not what's creating the big hullabaloo, if you will. So it's more focused on, there are two types of deductions that are coming in at the cooperative. One's at the cooperative level, and then the other, which is creating all the buzz, is at the member level. So first of all, think about the cooperative level deduction. With this new tax bill, it replaced the old tax bill, which did have a deduction in it called Section 199, or the Domestic Production Activities Deduction, or DPAD. And that was specifically, not all grain marketing cooperatives utilized it, but many did. And it was a tremendous deduction, tax deduction, that many could keep either at the cooperative level, they could pass through to their members. And there was really no unified way that cooperatives would handle that deduction. But I will say this, it was tremendous. We're not just talking hundreds of thousand dollars, we're talking millions of dollars was, you know, flowed through to benefit co-ops, which ultimately benefited farmers, right? Regardless if it was passed through or not, because farmers are the owners,
members
of the cooperative, right? So it was a tremendous benefit. 199 was going away because primarily it was put in place and utilized by manufacturing firms, non-ag, and Republicans needed a way to help offset the cost of the lower tax cut. So 199, bye-bye. Mm-hmm. But there was a provision that was put in there kind of at the end called Section 199A, specifically geared to cooperatives. What's different about this 199A is that it's not just focused on grain marketing. It's all co-ops, all farmer co-ops. So in the past, it was on the grain side that you could take this deduction. But now the way it is calculated, it includes farm supply, it includes energy, it includes service. It's everything that the cooperative does that's within there. So because of that, you can see an additional amount of a deduction that can be taken at the cooperative level. So right there, there's, you know, some additional incentive to do business with the co-op because, well, if we do more business with the co-op, they can have an additional amount of deduction, which could further benefit me, right? Mm-hmm. But to go back to the hullabaloo, without question, this tax bill has created an incentive to do business with a farmer cooperative.
As opposed to a private entity.
Right, as opposed to a private firm, right? A private grain handling firm, an independent, you know, multinational firm. Now, the question always comes back to, well, how much, right? How much business would they do? Mm-hmm. Well, speaking as an economist, farmers should do business with the cooperative until they're able to extract as much of the tax deduction benefit that they can. And then each additional bushel after that is to look at, well, what's my best net price from there, right? That's the economist theory, how you would think, and business-minded as well. How this all will play out, you know, it's going to be interesting and fascinating to watch. I think for co-ops out there, they need to go and talk with their lawyers, talk with their tax accountants. I'd also would encourage a lot of cooperative directors, managers to go to our website at the Capper Center. Go to acc.ksu.edu. Phil Kinkle and I have co-authored a fact sheet discussing some of the ramifications of this bill for co-ops and kind of putting it on paper. Not that we have the answer, but rather we want boards and managers to be able to ask questions, right? To figure out, okay, hey, where should we be going? What are the different ramifications of this? So we're trying to push out as much information as possible. And then again, for farmers to sit down and speak with their tax advisors and lawyers as well to figure out, well, what is the best course of action for me.
And that's the best thing to leave folks with, for this all casts a new light on tax management for our producers, for our cooperatives likewise. Brian, we appreciate your comments. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Eric.
Brian Brigeman directs the Arthur Capper Cooperative Center here at Kansas State University. Once more, keep up on this subject, as Brian notes, via the center's website, accc.ksu.edu. Rounding out this segment, this week's edition of the Kansas Wheat Scoop for you, here's Marcia Boswell.
All Kansas farmers are invited and encouraged to attend the Kansas Commodity Classic on Friday, January 26, 2018. The Commodity Classic is the annual convention of the Kansas Corn, Wheat, and Grain Sorghum Associations and will take place at the Four Points by Sheraton Hotel in Manhattan. It is free to attend and includes a complimentary lunch. However, pre-registration is requested. U.S. Senator Jerry Moran will take the stage to give attendees an update on issues in Washington. Arlen Suderman, the chief commodities economist for INTLFC Stone, will provide a markets update. Trade is an important topic for Kansas agriculture, and speakers from the national commodity organizations will address it. Molly O'Connor, who is the Biotech Food and Trade Policy Advisor with the National Association of Wheat Growers, and Mike Dwyer, the Chief Economist with the U.S. Grains Council, will tackle the subject. At 11:30, U.S. Senator Pat Roberts, U.S. Senate Ag Committee Chairman, will provide an Agriculture and Farm Bill update. Dr. Barry Flinchbaugh, Professor Emeritus of Kansas State University's Department of Agricultural Economics, will be the featured keynote speaker during lunch. Dr. Flinchbaugh is a renowned expert on agricultural policy and an award-winning professor of agricultural economics at K-State. He has been a longtime advisor on ag policy to politicians of both parties. Drawing on his authority and expertise, Dr. Flinchbaugh will look at lessons learned from the historically long debate on the 2014 Farm Bill and will look forward to the upcoming Farm Bill discussions. Visit kswheat.com/KS Commodity Classic 18 for an agenda and to register. For Kansas Wheat, I'm Marcia Boswell.
Thanks, Marcia. You're tuned to Agriculture Today. Standing by to join us after the break to get into the Kansas agricultural weather scene, K-State's Mary Knapp, here on the K-State Radio Network.